Now, while there are a lot of pros that we are seeing of e-businesses, there are economies of scale. There is the convenience of sitting at home and getting everything delivered. Now, clearly, the delivered to home escalated and multiplied phenomenally during the pandemic years. And trends have been such that people don't really want to move out of that comfort of home delivery. So even though during the pandemic it was a necessity, post the pandemic, delivery at home, online payment has become a matter of choice purely because of the convenience of it. So, to give you a very simple and basic example, during the pandemic, wherein domestic staff, cooking staff, etc., was not being able to come, a lot of homemakers chose to have food delivered on a regular basis from a Swiggy or Zomato or various other platforms. But even post-pandemic, if you see, for homes that can afford it, a lot of people have chosen to, continue to have that delivered for a lot of tiny basic items, items even costing less than 100 rupees, instead of, driving or taking public transport and going out to a store to buy it. People are choosing to just make online payment and have it delivered at home. Now, obviously, it has come at the cost of your retail, your physical outlet suffering and their businesses suffering. But from a consumer point of view, it has been, of course, very convenient and beneficial. It can lead to, it leads to a reduction in requirement of physical stores. With physical stores come lot of overheads, a lot of staff cost, lot of rental cost, lot of space cost. Whereas when it comes to just managing, to deal with warehousing costs and managing your inventories better, then cost of transaction comes down, cost of overheads comes down. So it is very, very, it is beneficial for businesses also if consumers have taken so heartily to this trend of e-businesses. There is also, in terms of advertising, we are very, very familiar with Google Ads these days. So there is effective marketing. You can directly see, monitor this versus other forms of advertising, where sometimes monitoring the return on investment on your advertising, the monitoring and measurement on your pay-per-click advertising or your Google Ad advertising, how much of the traffic has come, has been channeled through your online ads, etc. All of that has become a lot more measurable and has made the whole business of promotion and marketing a lot cheaper. Today, when we talk about influencer marketing, influencers have absolutely exploded, and so many people choose to tie up with influencers rather than go to traditional forms of creating their own ad or their own radio jingle or their TV jingle or their marketing material. Instead, they tie up with influencers on Instagram or what have you to use that kind of, and these influencers will typically have their promotion code that, if you I have a tie-up and I really like this product, and if you use my promotion code this, then you will get a 10% off or a 20% off. And this works very economically for a lot of companies that don't want to go and make expensive advertising campaigns, that don't want to tie up with celebrities and have their brands endorsed for very expensive budgets. So it has helped businesses, it has helped influencers, it has helped consumers. Very often, influencers are, of course, influencers are also paid for their tie-ups. They're not doing it for free. But very often, the credibility which is associated with influencer marketing is far higher than credibility that is associated with celebrity endorsements. And also, loss of trust is far quicker if an influencer is mis-selling. And today, with just a click, one can get unfollowed. So influencers have to be that much more sensitive about not mis-selling. And yes, there are tie-ups. Yes, there is paid promotion, and they have to list that it's a paid promotion very often. But they have to also be conscious that if they are not genuine in their reviews and in their tie-ups, then they will very quickly, lose their followers. So it has become a model which is very, very conducive to the entire, the various participants in this, right from the business to the consumer to the influencer. Now, some of the disadvantages of e-businesses, sometimes they can be very capital intensive, could need a lot of infrastructure. There is technology which can lead to, there are constant technological upgradations. For example, the Uber app, there was a phase in the middle, couple of years ago when the Uber app was really malfunctioning in India. There were some updates which were not, upgrades which were not happening, updates which were not happening effectively on certain kinds of phones. And all these apps get updated so regularly, you have to restart your phone or, sometimes upgrade your phone. And it's very difficult to constantly be at the top of monitor these upgradations, system upgradations. And we all saw what happened with CrowdStrike. When we had this situation, 45 days to 2 months ago, where this systems update through Microsoft, one of window tab that was opened, and because of that, the entire system went and hung. It led to a glitch, and the entire airline system went and hung. We saw the mayhem that it caused world over for travel and for logistics, etc. Out of over 1 lakh scheduled commercial flights on that day. And for the next few days, on that day, that Friday, some 35,000 got delayed and some 5,000 got cancelled. We saw horrific videos on YouTube of people stranded, long queues, systems not being, the airlines not being able to generate passport, boarding passes, handwritten boarding passes given to people, if at all, the long queues, people going in, for international flights where you typically go 3 hours before your flight, people going, five hours just to be able to, keep up with the mayhem there. And this lasted several days before, things were streamlined again. So in this day and age, one would think, that's never going to happen. And especially it's never going to happen with a Microsoft, but it did. So, and it impacted, consumers, flyers, businesses across the world. So at the end of the day, systems glitches happen. We have situations where Alexa has malfunctioned. We had this case where Alexa on its own decided to, this is artificial intelligence, misfiring. Alexa on its own in a certain case decided to email a private record, the private conversation between a husband and wife, and email that recording of the conversation to the bosses of one of them. Now, that's a glitch. It happened. Why should it happen? But even technology can misfire. Artificial intelligence can misfire in ways which are very, very unpredictable. So this unpredictability of glitches, though they are rare, but when it happens, it can completely throw everything out of sync and create a lot of chaos. Now, some of the other disadvantages could be your confidentiality, safety issues. Now, talking about, something very, very sensitive and heartbreaking, we keep hearing about these dating app scandals all over the world. We have these, if you go to 60 Minute Australia, these news reports, etc., of these con artists duping vulnerable women all over the world, these con artists duping people all over the world with fake romances, this whole concept of catfishing, where online, because you're only interacting online through some e-business or a dating app or through, Meta, you are managing to impersonate someone else and dupe another human being, not just in terms of emotional misleading, but also get money out of them. Sometimes harm them physically. Data security, how often have we seen reports of every so often, this is not even a rare occasion, every so often we will see some news report on data being hacked of this credit card company, or data being hacked of this bank, or data being hacked of this entity, so this telecom company, data being hacked of this site. You know, there are occasions where there have been claims of employees of these entities actually selling that data to selling this data to miscreants and mischief makers for monetary gain. So whether it's hackers, whether it's employees that are mischievous, data security is a huge issue. And very often, we can now, the number of times we get messages from government entities, the police, the telecom authority, various other entities that, you know, please be careful about what data you share online, what data, what information you provide on the phone. Don't share OTPs, don't answer number phone calls coming from certain numbers, starting with certain numbers, your data may get compromised. So earlier, this may have been a rarity, but now practically on a very, very regular basis, we see that data security issues and alerts are put out, and we read in the news about confidential data, customers' data being compromised. Cyber fraud, again, we keep hearing about people clicking on a certain link and losing lakhs of rupees, if not crores of rupees. The Mumbai police and police across the country and across the world have dedicated cyber fraud units now. Reason for that is that cyber fraud has become such a massive reality, and also it's very challenging to tackle because, tracking IP addresses, you don't know, people use these proxy servers all over the world. So tracking, identifying, locating also is very difficult when there is nothing, the physical presence is not there. It's intangible and it's a notional entity somewhere, and you don't know who to be chasing despite tracking mechanisms. Now, as far as India is concerned, growth of e-business in India has been immense. Another very, very positive trend is that India's infrastructure and logistics has been improving, which is required even for digital economy to grow. So we have internationally there is a logistics performance index, or an LPI score, and India's score on this has always been a little low, and our rank in the LPI score globally has always been a little bit on the lower side. But in the last few years, we have seen our score improve marginally from 3.08% in 2014 to 3.4% in 2023 in terms of the ranking, in terms of our logistics efficiency. Our logistics LPI score ranking based on LPI score globally has gone up to rank of 38 from rank of 54 when ranked against other countries. So these are definitely trends which are important. We have to still work on our logistics and our infrastructure to be able to give a much higher push if we want to achieve this 350 billion target that we want to achieve by 2026, 2030. If we want to move at that trajectory, then a lot of push has to be given to logistics. Now, also we have the National Logistics Policy, which was launched by the government in 2022 with the aim of giving a push to our infrastructure, reducing our freight, reducing our cost of logistics, making it a lot more easier for the world to perceive us as doing, easier to do business with. And all of this together will give a push not just to the economy as a whole, but also to the digital economy and e-commerce businesses. So e-commerce has shown a massive growth. Asia being a very, very large market. Of course, when it comes to China, then China's growth has been far higher than that of India. Also, China has, because of its preferences, because of its certain government requirements, there are times when China has managed to stave off external inflow or external companies entering into their economies on the e-commerce front and hence pushing their own e-commerce businesses. For example, when it comes to Chinese consumers, they prefer Taobao to an eBay. So because of certain such preferences, there is a preference and a push for local e-businesses versus international e-businesses. But of course, India is a lot less restrictive. We are a lot more open in terms of mindset to international e-businesses also. Of course, we want to give a push to our domestic e-businesses. So the government efforts for digital India are very, very on track. When we talk about something as basic as UPI, which we deal with in our daily life on a very, very regular basis, then we have a very, very positive landmark where our UPI has been launched in France and it was launched in Paris very recently in July. And in fact, on July 3rd in 2024, our UPI was actually launched there. So shows you how much global acceptability we have as far as our digital initiatives and innovations are concerned. Today, when we think of our Indian UPI, as we have discussed in previous chapters, payments have become so seamless. While the pandemic gave a massive push to this, but today it has become like even if you're buying a cup of tea from a street vendor or a vada pav, you can pay easily your 10 rupees, 20 rupees via UPI, and everyone is right from the auto driver to anyone else. They are more than happy most of the time to accept your payments through this. Now, India, just to give you an idea of India and the IT enabled services, between 2020 and 2021, we have received an investment of almost $80 billion in the IT enabled services. Shows you an idea of the world, how they perceive us as how they perceive us and our image as an enabling environment for IT industry to flourish, for e-businesses to flourish. So hopefully both domestic e-businesses and international e-businesses will continue to grow in India, even though there are concerns when it comes to growth, future growth rates, when we think about the possible ITA which is to be signed by the World Trade Organization and how that could impact us. There are concerns, there are saturation aspects, but hopefully we will continue to be an attractive market domestically and internationally. Now the government, also the Commerce Ministry, is committed to pushing this industry. They have a new committee to review open networks for digital commerce, the ONDC strategy. The government is constantly taking initiatives for the expansion of the e-commerce sector across different segments. Definitely the pandemic changed the whole e-commerce trajectory, not just in India, but the world over. But yes, while the pandemic was an extremely negative thing to have occurred to anyone, purely from a business point of view, e-business point of view, it put India in a position where already a country which is heavily empowered when it comes to being a knowledge economy, we have been able to participate in a much higher way in this e-business expansion post-pandemic, and also in terms of innovation. Considering with technology, with e-businesses, there is constant dynamism, constant innovation which is required versus some of the traditional manufacturing industries. For e-businesses, we are poised to, given our knowledge-based manpower, knowledge-based economy, we are poised to really not only benefit from this, but also contribute to the global growth of e-businesses. So, in closing, I would just say that our economy as a whole, growing at a rate of 6.5 to 7%, and in that the share of services which went down during your pandemic years has regained its position again. And in those services, e-services now is something which is not just at a macro level, big company level, corporate level. It is something which is impacting our day-to-day life very, very heavily. And also, even though it is intangible, even though very often the digital experience, the e-business experience is intangible, doesn't mean that it has to compromise on the quality or preferences of what customers want. Even if you're ordering a food item, doesn't mean that there has to online without interacting with another human being. That doesn't mean the taste is compromised. The qualitatively and in terms of preferences, those things are all taken care of, adhered, and our business e-businesses are becoming so seamless that these elements, which are very, very which customers are extremely sensitive about, are also being taken care of, even in the distant, boundaryless online world and e-business world. So in terms of e-businesses, Asia and India, as a very integral part of this Asian market, stands to benefit both from the consumption point of view and also from the supplier point of view. Thank you.